Continue, we look at the Word of God. This is 17th session of the 2 Kings. We'll cover chapter 17 to 20 of 2 Kings. And Isaiah, chapter 36 to 39. So it's not easy to learn without putting an effort, but help us to keep on putting our effort into knowing God and implementing in our life and also sharing through the cell and live out the word of life, word of God. Even though it is difficult, when we understand, and there will be a joy and pleasure. So today we will cover the Isaiah chapter 36 to 39, the King Hezekiah, the faith required courage to die. The history related to King Hezekiah is written from the 2 Kings chapter 17 to 20 and is also mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 to 32. So we'll be sharing both books. In order to understand the historical background of Hezekiah, it would be better to look at the history of Assyria in Mesopotamia, which is located between the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. The history of Assyrian Empire started from the Shem family. Out of the Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, after the flood. The children of Shem, Elam, Assyria, Arphaxad, Ruth, Aram. Among those sons, the second son named Assyria is the origin of the Assyrian Empire. So the place where Assyria settled was Mesopotamia region. According to the Bible, this tribe, Nimrod of Hamite, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Genesis chapter 10, verse 9 to 12 says, the first center of his kingdom were Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, Kana, in Shinar. From the land he went to Assyria, where he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kala, and Resen, which is between Nineveh and Kala, which is the great city. So it seemed that Nimrod, a tribe of Ham, who seemed to be the main driver of the Tower of Babel, was centered on Babylon. When people divided and scattered in different places according to their languages, as a Ham family, Hamite moved toward the African region, they become the main pillars of the Mizraim, which is the Egyptian civilization. The Shemite descendant of the Shem appear to have migrated to the Mesopotamia and the southern part of Arabian Peninsula. Thus, from the early settlement of Mesopotamian region, the Babylonian, Nimrod Hamite, tribe of Ham, and the Semite, Assyrian tribe of Shem, lived together and compete with each other. The result of these two cultures, perhaps it is Sumerian civilization we learn in history. The Babylonian tribe of Hamites was located in the lower and lower middle of the Euphrates and the Tigris River of Mesopotamia. Shemite Assyrians are located northwest of Babylon, upstream of the Tigris River. Thus, the struggle for them to take the initiative here are the history of Mesopotamia. In Mesopotamia, Babylon takes the lead by Nimrod of the Ham family. Assyria was insignificant until the 15th century BC. But from the 14th century BC, Assyria gradually became a superpower country. Thus, by the 11th century BC, Assyria became the strongest in Mesopotamia, mainly Nineveh. From the 10th century, it will take on the shape of a great empire, extending its territory greatly to the Babylon region, the Medes, and the northern region to become a powerful nation in the eastern world. However, the strangest thing is, while Assyria widened the land and trampled all the neighboring countries, has never encountered Israel. In fact, the distance would have been close enough to invade. Assyria was not in conflict with Israel, though they were cruel to invade many countries around the region. It was about 1250 BC when Assyria unified Mesopotamia as a whole. Israel was then when Judge Gideon served. The Judges' era lasted more than 200 years. It was time when people forsook God and asked for a king. Israel's kingdom started by King Saul's reign, B.C. 1100. So it was at that time that the house of Israel lived repeatedly disobedience to God for 350 years Judges' time. They have not been invaded by a great power, Assyria. We can see that God kept them from the Assyria and protect them. About 1050 BC, King David reigned over the country and exerted strong power. David reigns from the Egyptian border to the south, Aram, the Syria to the north. Assyria borders with Aram. Nevertheless, Assyria did not invade Israel. The power of Assyria, Babylon, and Elam declined at the same time in Mesopotamia between 1100 and 900 BC. These circumstances bring the rise of Israel under David and Solomon. But all of this history has been driven by God in when Israel obeyed the Sinai covenant. It is evidence that shows how God keeps his people from the mighty nations. Historically, the association between Assyria and the nation of Israel, there was no conflict until the end of the United Kingdom. But during the divided kingdom, there was the first invasion during the King Ahab period of North Israel, B.C. 918. Also, when Jehu became king, B.C. 884, Assyria's Salmaneser III invaded. Jehu gave up fighting and paid the tribute to Assyria. Later, during King Joash of North Israel, Adad-nirari III invaded to the west, make Damascus, Tyre, Sidon, Edom, and the Philistine to summit. Joash also paid the tribute. Assyria continues to thrive until the 9th century BC. When Israel became a divided kingdom, Assyria begins to weakened by the war with Ararat, an emerging nation in the north of Assyria. By the way, around the BC 765-759, many people died by the epidemic disease. Records show that during the eclipse of June 663 BC, people were greatly feared, because the eclipse was regarded angry of the God. As Assyrian was weakened in this way, only Nineveh, the capital, was left, as the rest of the country was taken away. Assyria was rebuilt by God through Jonah. In fact, Assyrians were the most cruel people at the time. They even stripped the people alive, cut hands and feet, cut their nose and ears, cut their eyes, and burned girls whore in conquered countries. God has sent the prophet Jonah to such a country for repenting. This was the time when Jeroboam II of the northern kingdom appeared in Israel and reigned the greatest prosperity of North Israel. If you look at the reason through his whole world situation, the revival of North Israel is not because of power of Jeroboam II in the northern kingdom, but because of the weakened power of surrounding nation like Assyria. God helped Assyria by sending prophet Jonah. When Tiglath-Pileser III was raised, Assyria once again became a powerful nation. He conquers all of Babylon again and rules. That was when the Menahem killed the Shallum and became a king. When Assyria invaded northern kingdom, Menahem took the money of the noble and paid a tribute, 1,000 talents of silver, to protect his kingship. After that, when King Vega reigned in North Israel, by the request of Ahaza of the South Judah, Assyria again invaded, conquered North Israel except the land of Ephraim and Samaria. Then Aram is defeated by Assyria, as is the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. Hosea, the last king of the North Kingdom, killed Vega and became king. He paid the tribute to Assyria, however. Assyria, instead of giving the territory of northern Israel, only the Ephraim region was returned, and demanded heavy tribute. Even in such a difficult situation, King Hosea did not obey God. Why? From the beginning of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam made a golden calf to maintain his power and deceive the people by saying the golden calf is a god brought them out of Egypt. Israel went the wrong way from the beginning. Then he continued to transform God into a golden calf that achieved their wish. For all nations, idolatry has become a routine. The golden cup they created could not win Assyria. Hosea, the last king of North Kingdom, seek help from the Egypt. He did not seek God and the prophet's advice, but depended on a strong nation until the end. That is why Assyria invades again, sieged the castle of Samaria for 3 years, and eventually destroys it. In 722 BC, the northern kingdom eventually collapsed. So North Israel, who insisted on serving the golden cup idol as God, rather than being taken captive, most of them die and ruin. The remaining people are then taken to various parts of Mesopotamia and scattered. Assyria also planned to move other people to Samaria, Israel, to mix them. So Samaria, the capital of this northern kingdom, is more and more defiled by Gentile and Gentile's God. With this historical event, until Jesus' time, the Jews treated the Samaritan area as very dirty. If they are going from the Jerusalem area to the northern Galilee area, they cross the Jordan to the east and are used to live on King's Boulevard or Mediterranean Seaside Road, which is the bypass to the northern area. During this period of the northern kingdom, Hezekiah became king in South Judah and did many things. If we refer to the record of Kings or Chronicles about King Hezekiah's good work, he is 25 years old when he becomes king. At first, repairing of Jehovah's temple close by his father Ahaz eliminated all unclean things that have defiled the temple and raised up the tribe of Levi to do their role. So everything is purified again according to the Mount Sinai covenant, and the sanctified temple is again dedicated to God. When he celebrated the Passover, Hezekiah let all the people come to Jerusalem from all across Israel, from Dan at the north and to Beersheba to the south end. This was originally commanded by the Sinai covenant. So let the people of Jerusalem remember the consequence of idol worship was being taken to Assyria, and encourage them that God would help if they did not imitate the evil of North Israel and serve God. That is why Israel keep the great Passover that they have never had before, and they destroy all the idols to make the whole country a pure land of God. And he makes the priests and Levites, like David's day, do the works of temple and make everything stand according to the word. He learned the lesson from the northern kingdom has fallen by Assyria, so he works hard to prepare for the national defense. So what the Chronicles winter writer says about this is, 2 Chronicles verse 31. Chapter 31, verse 20. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the command, he sought his God and worked wholeheartedly and so he prospered. Most of the kings of Judah in the book of 2 Chronicles have good aspect. Chronicles highlight the goodness of the kings to promote national consciousness, rebuilding the city of Jerusalem after exile. If you should add Hezekiah's appearance with reference to other records, you can see not only the goodness of the Hezekiah, but also the fatal mistake. In 2 Kings verse, chapter 18, in the sixth year of Hezekiah's reign, North Israel fell to Assyria. Hezekiah reigned at this time, lived his own victories in the midst of the Assyrian threat of the destroying both Aram and North Kingdom. But this victory is not because Hezekiah was strong. He was overcoming such a crisis with God's grace because he wanted to stand according to the word of God as Chronicles recorded. It is true that he did not rely on Assyria as the prophet said, but he has relied on Egypt instead. So Hezekiah still lived a situational life rather than a full faith in God. So as you can see in Isaiah chapter 20, the prophet Isaiah warned and proclaimed not to rely on Egypt for 3 years with his naked body. At the time, Hezekiah predicted that Assyria would eventually attack. In preparation for the invasion, he drew water outside of Jerusalem to be prepared in case they would be surrounded. Perhaps the most important thing when fighting in the castle is water and food. So he prepared thoroughly. Therefore, a tunnel is made from the Gihon spring outside the castle to the Siloam pond inside the castle. But no matter how plentiful water and the food, disregarding God's will comes to despair and crisis. Even if Prophet Isaiah warned not to rely on Egypt with his naked body, because King Hezekiah relied on Egypt, eventually Assyria invaded Judah. Assyria quickly captured all the city of South Judah in the Sennacherib Chronicle. The 46 cities of Judah were taken, where they captured 200,150 captives. You can see the camp in Lachish to make Hezekiah to surrender. Lachish, about 50 kilometers southwest of the Jerusalem, is the route to the Egypt. According to other record, Gu's army came up to the fight, but Sanherib won. So Assyrian Sanherib conquered a very important strategic point where they can check Egypt as well as all the Palestine. Hezekiah was terrified because the whole nation was devastated and only Jerusalem was left. So he sent a man to Sanherib, king of Assyria, who came to Lachish to surrender. So Sanherib ordered 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold, which is 10 ton of silver and 1 ton of gold. It was difficult for South Judah, as small as Gangwon-do in South Korea, to collect the ton of gold. So Hezekiah swept all the palaces and the temple, even from the gate of the God's temple and the doorposts gold. He stripped away all the gold he had given during the temple reform. 1 ton was quickly delivered. Hezekiah is considered a good king in Chronicle, but if you look at these actions, he did not give a pro-Egypt policy. Even though there was a warning of prophet Isaiah, we can see that he depended more on him than God were, and he was shaken by the situation. Keeping faith requires the courage to die. It is an illusion to think if we believe in God, there is no enemy, no difficulty, no danger. The Bible never says so. Perhaps Hezekiah had a life-giving faith when he first tried to bring the Reformation and to live by God's word. Thus, in living a life of obedience, he overthrew the Philistine and experienced complete victory. When Hezekiah became a king according to the God's word, he could go boldly without relying on Assyria and defeat the neighboring nation and stabilize the nation. However, Israel, made up of 10 tribes, being destroyed in Assyria instantly. He lost his first faith and tried to overcome the crisis by holding on to Egypt, not God. In our faithful journey, we have a similar situation very much. When there is no strong force to oppose, when life progresses without any problem, we might think or act like a tiger of faith, like a Hezekiah. However, when the crisis approaches and meet a lot of problems and enemies, we become like a puppy. Do not forget, living a life according to faith is a narrow and uncomfortable one, not a wide and open way. God doesn't make it on purpose, because not everyone is going in the way of God, but according to greed. Even while we believe in Jesus, the more crisis and threats can always come. Most religious crises seem to begin with misunderstanding. Misconception about God, misconception about faith, misconception about prayer, misconception about the life of faith. King Hezekiah misunderstands God's faithfulness. Rather than walking the path of faith fully, while walking on the path of believing, he has prepared his own hidden card, Egypt, to keep them safe from the Syria. But God sees the attitude as unbelief. So our faith in God shouldn't be the part of life, but the whole of our life. So we should be living by faith completely. It is so important to know exactly who God is, spoken in the Bible, and to know who I am. Also, the Bible shows us a faith prayer. You must know what the Bible says. Even though we live a life of faith, we still can meet lots of tribulation, difficulties that never thought about. However, the one thing is clear, God is with us in all our lives. God is not the one who changes our circumstances, but the one who changes me. And one is always with us. So we do not weigh our faith with the good and bad of the environment. We must see, even if the lion's den is in front, furnace is in front, a Goliath is in front, the huge Red Sea is blocked on our way. So if we walk with God in our faith, God always shows His faithfulness. Hezekiah, seen through the chronicle, he is doing his best to restore the nation that has collapsed according to God's word. Perhaps he had chosen God as a way of overcoming the immediate danger. However, I think this is also progress of growing faith. Misunderstanding about God is washed away from the unexpected crisis of our lives. After all, only God Himself is the greatest blessing, and realize how blessed is God's presence than anything else. At first, we wanted to use the power of Almighty God. Someday, not God's power, we understand that God is life, and that God is our greatest blessing and the source of life. Through the crisis, we can discover our wrong faith and equip us with the right biblical value. But when Hezekiah encounters a crisis, which is a process of growth and maturity, his faith in God is broken. He gathered gold and silver from Jerusalem and gave Sanherib as a tribute. The problem is that Assyria has not returned even after they received the tribute. Why did Assyria not return after receiving the gold and silver required? Assyrians became greedy and thought there would be more of gold and silver in Israel. So Sanherib did not return and sent Rabsakeh and his army to occupy Jerusalem. So if you try to solve the problem not in God's way but in the worldly way, the urgent fire seems to turn off. But in fact, greater risk and crisis are coming. Hezekiah's father, King Ahaz, also relied on Assyria to fight against the urgent situation with the battle of Aram and the North Israel. Hezekiah did not follow the word of God rightly in this crisis and tried to solve the urgent matter. Hezekiah seemed to have a weak discernment. Whatever you do, if you discern the situation well and analyze it correctly, you can make a right judgment. Right judgment makes a right decision. But Hezekiah reacted according to the situation without such a discernment. So Hezekiah thought that if he gave the tribute quickly, Assyrian Sanherib would go back to their country. However, they seized Jerusalem to take a gold or silver treasure. In Lachish, they sent the army chief Rabsakeh and 180,000 soldiers to occupy Jerusalem. So he surrounded Jerusalem and ridiculed him and said, "You guys will drink our urine and eat our stool. Who will protect Jerusalem from the hand of Assyrian king of generosity? Because Assyrian already destroyed the North Israel a while ago. And Rabsakeh is cursing and ridicule God. Do not forget that if God's people lose faith in the word, God is ridiculed. If you all Christians live like them in the world, God is blamed. Is this happening now because God is not listening and not seeing? God has seen this history and has already confirmed his living and protection. It is more frustrated when we read Hezekiah's misunderstandings and his prayer as if God is not seeing this situation. The Hezekiah prays as if he is unaware of this situation. The situation of chapter 37 is connected with chapter 38. Hezekiah was sick in Isaiah chapter 38. He was about to die. But after hearing Hezekiah's prayer of tears, God extended his life for 15 years, delivered the southern kingdom from the hands of Sanherib, king of Assyria, and God guarded the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 38, verse 5, God speaks to Isaiah, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, says the Lord, the God of your father David, I heard you pray, and I saw your tears. I will extend your life for 15 years. I will save you and this city from the hands of king of Assyria, and I will protect it." So Hezekiah's case of healing in chapter 38 did not take place after the end of Assyrian invasion. Therefore, seeing Hezekiah's prayer, Isaiah promises to prolong Hezekiah's life and save and protect this city from Assyria. This life extension of Hezekiah is during the Assyrian invasion. If so, see the situation. Perhaps as Hezekiah continued to hear the news that Assyrian army was sweeping over Judah, his faith was greatly shaken, and in the process of paying tribute in fear of Sanherib, what condensed this situation make him sick and about to die. So this life-threatening crisis can be a part of progress in our faithful journey. However, if your faith remains like Hezekiah, which is a problem, the faithful prayer should change us, not trying to change God's will. In fact, the nation of Assyria is a ridiculed God's name in spite of that God gave them a chance to repent by sending the prophet Jonah. If you read the story of chapter 36, Assyrian minister Rabsageh, we can see that these are not people who know what God is like. In fact, this may be the hardest part of the believer today. It is as if the church is always losing to the world, and the world is on the rise, and unbelieving people are better off. If you try to believe correctly and rightly, anxiety comes to your mind whether you can survive in the world. People often, if there is God, why is the world like this? Why are you like that? Why are the churches and ministers like that? In fact, we can't argue with it. So I think the situation is very much like a situation that King Hezekiah is going through. But do not be discouraged. Lift your eyes of faith and listen to the voice of God speaking in these circumstances. Isaiah chapter 37 verse 6 says, "Thus the Lord, do not be afraid of word of king of Assyria because of what you have heard of me. Not because we are strong, but because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. God is with us and never leaves. We live by faith not to die, but to eternal life." John chapter 11 verse 25 said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, but he who lives and believes in me will never die." Is your situation really difficult, hard, and uneasy now? Then do not be deceived by the Satan's false voice that threatens us and intimidate us to fear. But listen to the voice of God. "I have redeemed you, and you are mine." In the back of Isaiah review next week, the same proclaim, and the voice of God will be repeated many times. Do not be deceived by seeing, hearing, and feeling, but always keep in mind whether it is worthy of God's word, and stand on the path of victory by believing in the faithfulness of God. God tells Hezekiah, who looked to God, that the king of Assyria will go back without shooting an arrow here. In chapter 37, verse 33. So after sleeping, 185,000 Assyrian army who insulted and blasphemed the name of God became dead body overnight. In Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36, and 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. They never fought, but a night after, Assyrian army died. 180,000 elite troops of the country died. And Assyria is weakened from this time on, and eventually they are defeated by the Babylon. King Sanherib, who blasphemed God and ridiculed the name of God, returned to his homeland and is assassinated by his son. Do not lose faith, do not compromise the word. God is not just God in the history, but God is with us now. The God of Hezekiah's father, Ahaz, was the God of Emmanuel, who was with his people before and who was with his people not only during the reign of King Ahaz, but also in King Hezekiah. Moreover, God is with us forever in our lives. So even though the Israelites did not trust God until the end and eventually disappeared from the history, God worked through the people who believed in him until the end, with the people who believed in his promises to the end and believed on the faith until the end. God is the Lord. Not long after Hezekiah, the nation of Israel was destroyed and scattered in this history of the world. But surprisingly, 2,500 years later, he is the living God who brings the nation back to all the world and keep his promises. God is such a God. Do not be afraid. Do not be surprised. And I bless you as a people of faith. The last chapter, 39, is the story of Babylonian delegation who hears that Hezekiah is a Sikh in time. This visit seemed to be after Assyrian Sanherib lost 180,000 troops in the morning and returned back home. The Bible says that Hezekiah's illness has been heard, but in fact Assyria have been wiped out all over the night by the small nation Israel. So by recalculating Hezekiah's time of illness, Hezekiah was 25 years old when he became a king, and he reigned 29 years, which include 15 years of extended life. In the end, Hezekiah was made 14 years after he became a king. And it was when Assyria's Sanherib invaded. So the Babylonian delegation was probably curious about Israel, which destroyed all armies of the Assyrian. At the time, the new Babylonia was still small country. However, after Assyria lost 180,000 troops in the war, Assyrian eventually became weakened and collapsing. The Babylon became to grow as a powerful nation in the Mesopotamia. So Hezekiah, however, takes the pleasure from the God and save him in pride as if he had done it. In addition, because of Babylon wanted an alliance, Hezekiah was even more excited to show every corner of his country and show his power and what he owned. The Babylonian king was coveted and tried to devour all the gold in Jerusalem. When Hezekiah was young, he did reign well according to the word of God. When we look at King Solomon, He built a temple in Jerusalem and was blessed with tremendous blessing. But we do not see him in violation of God's ordinance and command to be the king. So same as King Hezekiah, people tend to remember only God's answer on his prayer, extending his life 15 years. Hezekiah's beginning was certainly faith, but as he lived more and more, he learned toward reality and human power. So this King Hezekiah is rebuked and received the prophecy, eventually all the treasure of this royal court, which his forefather had built up to these days, will be carried to Babylon, and there will be no one left in the midst of them. However, when he was rebuked, Hezekiah, rather repenting, he was comforted, it is not going to happen on his day. This prophecy was truly fulfilled in B.C. 586.